I just have to have it. When I worked shift work for a while, I used to work in the mine, and I used to work, come home at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I tell people, my kids, I tell them now, I feel guilty. I said, but when I'd send you off to school, then I'd sit down and eat a bowl of ice cream before I'd go to bed in the morning. And I love ice cream. I just love ice cream.
What are your favorites, flavors?
I like vanilla, plain vanilla ice cream with Nestle's Quick. And you can sprinkle Nestle's, you know, powdered on top. And you, if you want to get fancy, you add a little milk and mush it up and make like a malt.
Yeah.
But you can put down, you know, 1,000 calories in about, you know, 3 minutes. But you sit there, you're in heaven for those 3 minutes.
So, yeah, I've used to do that too. But why not just use the Hershey's syrup and just get right after it and delay the whole, you know.
Because Nestle's Quick is better.
Okay.
I mean, I like it better. I use the other stuff. I eat anything on ice cream I will eat, but that's what I like. And you know, when you mix in, you know, the chocolate swirl stuff, it's just not as good. Even the chocolate chips ice cream, it's pretty good, but there's nothing like doing it yourself.
Yeah, my gosh, my brother used to just get that bowl and put his spoon in there and just work it till it's a malt. It's a beautiful thing.
So here's a quick story. When I was a kid, I had a brother older than me that was skinny, and my mother would say, "Rick, let me make you a malted," you know, and I would already have had my ice cream, and then and he'd say, "Well, you can do that, but don't put an egg in it," and she'd always crack an egg in it to put weight on him. And he'd take one bite and say, "You put an egg in this. I'm not drinking this, and I'm not going to have this." And then it's like, I'd try to, "Can I have it? Can I have it? I'll have it with an egg." And, of course, I couldn't unless I snuck it.
Okay, so our question of the week is, what is our question of the week? I'm looking for it. Oh, here it is. What are you looking forward to this year? Can you answer that one?
I can. I am hoping to take my entire family to Norway.
Ooh.
I've been there twice. I've met family members there. There's 14 of us, and I'm hoping to get us all there. And I'm thinking I'm going to spend some of my retirement money before I get too old to do it.
There you go. Good job. Do it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
and I was in Norway. I told you there's a town right next to my town that is with your name on it.
That's right. That's why I have the last name of Holton. That's why my grandparents took that. They both took that name, actually, because their families were both from there. They weren't related, but there you go.
Right.
And when, you get back, I don't want to hear any complaining about jet lag. You hear me?
No whining, Jim.
No whining.
I went over, you know what I did? I did it a year and a half ago. I went and I arbitrarily picked this date, and I ended up flying into Paris the day the Olympics started.
Oh, perfect.
And then I missed my flight out, and it was kind of a nightmare. But I remembered my grandma with the hay, you know? It's
suck it up. Just move on.
Suck it up.
So I know we've asked you before, Jim, but what draws you to KEXE? Why call in this morning? Why listen to us?
Oh, we listen to the Friday. We listen to a lot of the morning shows, and we love the morning shows. And the Friday morning show, we always listen to. I'm down with Arlene, and I don't live in the same home, and I curl Thursday night, so I'm always here Friday morning. We always turn it on and listen to you guys, and it's always fun. Arlene is a real green cheeser. I kind of am, but she, every Saturday night, she's into it. And, you guys have, it's like the best radio station. And I understand why people from all over the country tune in, you know, that when you can, you know, get it over the, on your computer and stuff. I mean, I don't know. Aaron Brown, wow. A powerful guy, but you have a lot of talented people there, and you're always very entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Well, for being on What's for Breakfast, there is a parting gift, John.
Homestead Mills. He knows this routine. Homestead Mills is our sponsor. You can either get Country Blend cereal or wild rice pancakes or a big box of vanilla ice cream. What would you like?
You know, I'll get my own ice cream, but maybe I'll take the cereal. I'll take the cereal because I eat that.
Hey, thanks so much. You made me laugh today with that text coming in.
She laughed. It was a knee slapper.
Oh, yeah. That was great. It was exactly what we needed. And thanks for dealing with me saying you should call in, Jim, because it was great to hear from you again. And hey,
oh, that's great.
I've been watching some Norwegian TV shows that are on Netflix. I don't know if you get Netflix, but they've been really kind of fun. You might like them.
You know, I have been watching stuff myself, and I've been doing a lot of reading about Norway.
Oh, okay.
You got to go. And, Don't even worry about it. Just cash in that retirement fund and go.
It's making me want to go, too, sooner rather than later. So,
all right.
Good to hear from you, Jim.
Yep. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. That's What's for Breakfast. You hear it here on 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids and 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji. We are Northern Community Radio, telling the stories of the people and the land of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events, and breakfast and ice cream. Operating translator K210DR in Brainerd, 89.9. Listen at KAXE.org or on your smart speaker. We need people like you to support this local media. Text the word donate to 218-326-1234. Thanks to everybody who has kept us going, especially in 2025. We are celebrating 50 years of being on the air, and more people have helped us out, and we can't thank you enough. We have goals for the year ahead to do more, to be more connected, to hear more voices, more conversations, bring you more local news, and we're very excited to do it, especially with all the support you've given us. So thank you so much.
Yeah, for sure. Partly sunny today, highs 25 to 30 with north winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Maybe some gusts tonight of 25 miles per hour. Maybe a half an inch of snow tonight. Lows tonight 8 to 11.
Thanks to Northern Lights Nordic Ski Club for their support. They're a member-supported nonprofit with a mission to promote cross-country skiing as a healthy family activity. With volunteers who groom and maintain area trails, membership info, trail maps, and more available, northernlightsnordic.org.
Also, one thing, Hot Tubs of Northern Minnesota on Middle School Avenue in Bemidji, offering hot tubs, pool tables, saunas, and more. Learn more online at hottubsmn.com.
To the sports page, and the Mets had blown it in the 13th inning. Papers can't make losing look like winning. I think the Phillies took it 5-4. There it was on the sports page. Only page that takes a firm position. Kind of like an honest politician. The kind you hardly find anymore. In fact, let's face it, the sports page is the only place to go when a fella wants to know the score.
It is time for another edition of the sports page. Seems like it's been a long, long time. Kyle Erickson, Megan Buffington in the studio. Heidi Holton's across the table from us.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Megan, Happy New Year. How's everything going?
You know, it's off to a bright, beautiful start.
Nice.
Something like that. You get put it out into the world. Maybe it'll be true.
So I have a million notes here, but I'm just going to say, Megan, what do you want to start with?
Well, if Fred's not here yet, let's start with the Olympic rosters announced for Team USA.
There we go. Now he's here.
Olympic hockey.
That signaled Fred through the ether. He heard into the International Olympic Committee and his ears perked up.
Yeah. Fred is here with us now.
But we've got three Wild players made the men's roster, six Minnesota Frost players, and a University of Minnesota hockey player made the women's roster. So
six?
Six. Wow. Six from the Frost. I think I just counted again. Six from the Frost and one from the U. So lots of Minnesotans to cheer for some best-on-best hockey.
Yeah. And then How long of a break do they take? Do you know, for the NHL?
I want to be pretty extensive. 3-4 weeks, wow. I think they're doing.
And actually, it's good they can recover. I mean,
well,
you know,
the ones who aren't playing.
Yeah, yeah, the ones that aren't playing. Yeah, the Stars have to keep going.
Which is pretty much everyone but the Russians. All your top guys are playing. So. Yeah.
And then we also had the World Juniors, and neither Canada nor the United States ended up winning.
No, Sweden on top. First time in, I want to say, 17 years, they were saying that it wasn't us, Canada, or Finland.
And it's kind of refreshing, to be honest with you. Who did Sweden play?
Czechia.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
And that was a good game. That was when I believe Czechia was one of the teams that was over in Bemidji in December. So.
Okay. Well, it was a big thing. So, Fred, you're just joining us. I'm giving everybody an opportunity to see what they want to say. Kyle, you got the floor, and I bet I know what the heck it's going to be.
I don't know what it's going to be. I think probably want to talk about the end of student athletes, the end of college athletics. It's just what billionaire alum is going to give the most money.
Okay, let's hold that thought. That's
if I were a gambling man, that's where I guess Fred would have gone this morning.
Yes, but we're talking to you now, Kyle. You've got the floor.
Well, you know, I could talk about how much I hope J.J. McCarthy is not QB1 next year.
Ugh.
I could talk about the disaster that is the Minnesota Twins roster.
You get one show,
but I'm going to be sunshiny guy. And we'll talk about how our Minnesota Timberwolves are 8-2 in their last 10 games against teams with winning records. They're a game and a half out of second place in a very competitive Western Conference. I'm going to point to Bones Highland, of all people, as an unexpected spark plug that has given the Wolves the backup point guard that they desperately needed in bringing energy and some scoring and some good defense. And I'm interested to see if they are going to try to swing a trade before the deadline, because Oklahoma City is still at the top looking down at the rest, but they don't look invulnerable like they did for the first month and a half of the season. They got 7 losses now. The Wolves handed them 1 week and a half ago.
Yeah.
And so it'll be interesting to see if the Wolves go into the mode that the Wild are in and thinking, we've got enough of the pieces in place that we're going to try to shore up the weaknesses, augment the strengths.
But what did they do? Okay, so we need a point guard so that Edwards doesn't have to bring the ball up, which is mind-boggling. Who? What do you do? Who are you going to have to give up somebody, or are you going to give up a draft pick? Because who are we going to give up on this roster to get a good quick point guard?
Do we have draft picks to give up?
Mean, well, I mean,
we kind of mortgaged about 6 years of first round picks to get Rudy Gobert.
What does the team do? Who do we get rid of?
I think point guard is still the biggest need. Point guard, sure. Or depth at center, which, you know, depth at center is very inexpensive. Probably getting a true point guard one is probably not at all expensive. There's some speculation they might take a run at Trae Young. That didn't happen. So we'll see what's out there. I'm really, really curious to see what they're going to do. And I'm really curious to see if the Vikings are going to make a run. I know I'm cheating and doing two things here, but I'm curious if the Vikings are going to try to make a trade for a quarterback in the offseason.
I hope everyone knows my ugh was not for JJ. It was for Kyle's opinion.
I was wondering if it was if you were like you lost faith in JJ, but
no.
You lost faith in Kyle,
he's
basically.
He's just not very good. All right, Fred.
Well, wait a minute. First of all, I'd like to say I still believe the key to the Timberwolves is Jaden Daniels. I think he's just a pivotal person for us. He can score. He can rebound. He plays defense. I think he's the key. Fred, you got the floor, man. What are you talking about?
Well, first, I love Kyle's sunny disposition because I could use it. Minnesota could use it. Our listeners could listen. So congrats to you. So I think we're not paying a price that we knew we'd pay for losing all the draft choices in the Gobert trade. There's so many more point guards available than, you know, centers, that's for sure. And they either I'm looking for them to somehow get lucky. It's like Mike Conley just aged out, which we all do, you know. And I think that's the key. They're not going to go deep in the playoffs with your superstar bringing the ball up court.
No.
I mean, John's absolutely right. Yeah. You know.
Okay, but what's your topic? What besides the ones we've covered? What's on your mind? Is it the Olympics? The Olympic Committee? Maybe NCAA?
No, they're certainly not. I don't even talk about that. I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to figure out why, how, on the one hand, the Twins want to sell tickets. On the other hand, they're fighting with Joe Ryan over $500,000. Yeah, somebody want to explain
absurd.
That to me?
That's absurd.
That is absurd. I mean, him of all people. Why don't you just say, Joe, thanks so much. We're going to lose you in a year or two as soon as your contract ends. And to make that public is absolutely ridiculous.
So is it just happened in Minnesota? Why do things like that happen? I mean, $500,000 is nothing today.
I agree.
Nothing
That's
today.
That's a really good point. And why did they talk about it?
Yeah.
Why did they talk about it? Why did they share that with the media, with the press? It's ridiculous. There's so many organizations, they just, everybody agrees. We're going to negotiate. We're not going to go to the press. We're going to just negotiate back and forth. So, now, of course, over here, and the other thing I should mention, this is on the far east end of KAXE land. Of course, everybody's talking about the predictable loss of Coy Parrish, who right now is being offered incredible deals by the billionaire in Texas Tech versus the billionaire at the University of Oregon.
Possible $1 million.
Yeah.
Or more.
So
yeah,
how do you tell a 20-year-old kid to keep his loyalty and come to the Gophers for $300,000 when he can go to Texas Tech for $1 million, and it's only going to get worse?
Imagine if every NFL player were a free agent every year.
Oh, gosh.
And that's basically what this is. And I am pro and always have been pro the players getting paid. They're the ones creating the product that generates the revenue, and they should get paid. But if it's just the Wild West like this, where anybody can transfer at any point an unlimited number of times, it's like a college football K-shaped economy, and that's not helpful for anybody except for the people with the most money, and that just isn't good for the sport.
That's terrible.
It's not good for anything.
I want to pay them, but I want them on contracts for X number of years.
Well, there's something like that going on in Washington now. They're something with the contract with their quarterback where if he said he was going to transfer, they were going to take him to court.
Wow. Yeah, and he decided he was going to stay now
after being told he'd be taken to court.
Well,
that's why, Mega, that's because all the lawyers said, you're going to lose. You go to court, you're going to lose.
So can we have a salary cap on NIL? I mean, what's going to happen? It's just insane.
I thought about that driving in, John. That's a good point. And then my first thought was, well, if there's a salary cap, then the richest organizations are going to find ways to circumvent it. And then we're back to money changing hands under the table. And it's just like the old way, but with more money in play. Maybe that's overly cynical. Right. Maybe it's realistic.
Well, then you,
I don't know.
You can then you can look at the Indiana. Wasn't Indiana played Alabama? Did they play?
Dismantled Alabama.
Yeah, okay. So I don't know if you heard this, but Alabama has 57 five-star athletes on their football team. Indiana, I think, has 12 or 15.
They have zero five-star players on their team and just single digits four-star players.
Yeah, so there's some joy in that, I guess. I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but so, Heidi?
Yeah.
You got the floor this time.
All right, so here's what's on my mind. Today is the last day of the negotiations for the WNBA.
Oh, it's the last day.
Yeah, they've extended it. They think it's not going to go past today, but we'll see what happens here. They're, you know, of course they want to be paid more. They want more benefits and housing. They want some, they're the ones bringing in the people and the revenue, and they want some sharing and all of that kind of stuff. So we're going to see what happens and, you know, whether there's going to be a strike or any of that. Nefisha Collier's not going to care about the strike. She's getting ankle surgery.
Two ankle surgeries.
Yeah. She is not playing in Unrivaled, and Unrivaled began last weekend. And so that's what I am watching, 3-on-3 women's basketball. So it is on. There are four nights of games per week, two games each night in the play. Each team plays two games per week, and they've added an extra two teams now. My favorite watching so far was Paige Becker's team. She's on a new team, and she's always great, right? But it's so fast. You can tell how tired out she got, but she. It's really an interesting thing to watch after watching, you know, a normal basketball game. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Heidi, I want to make a point on what you say, which is all correct. And it's kind of a labor law point. All those things you talked about, salary, benefits, percentage of profits, all that, that's normal labor law management, labor negotiations. And that's fine. That's the way it should be, right? Here's what's unique. One of the things they're demanding is you dump the commissioner and get a new commissioner.
Ooh. Mm.
Mm-hmm. And the players are united on this, united. So that's what makes it more than typical dollars and cents benefits versus profit arguments.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, there'll be games tonight. They're on Mondays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, and they're on TNT, True TV, and they also stream on HBO Max. So, you know, this league, Player League, has figured out how to get all the games on the air. They're all getting paid really well for doing this. Nafisha Collier, I mean, everybody's training so hard for the season ahead at these facilities in Florida where they're at. So I'm excited. Should be
Is she
going
to be able to play the season with the Lynx?
Don't know.
Is it two ankle surgeries? 4 to 6 weeks or 4 to 6 months? I don't remember.
I think it was months. Yeah.
Anyway, if you like basketball, you should catch it, and I'd love to hear what you think of it.
Now we can throw in the scraps from Christmas dinner and stuff like that. Did you watch the game last night in Miami? And Ole Miss, that was a really, really exciting football game. And they were presented with the ugliest trophy I've ever seen in my entire. Did any of you see it?
I saw a picture of it in an article I read this morning.
What is going on? It was a. Anyway, I digress. But
John, I think this shows exactly why people sitting at home on their computers with nothing else to do, saying who's 2-star, 3-star, 4-star, and 5-star means nothing.
Yeah.
Because the Mississippi quarterback a year ago was an undrafted, scholarship kid, couldn't get one offer, and went to Little Ferris State. And he was way undervalued, as everybody saw. And he's going to end up in the NFL someday.
Yeah, he will. Yeah. And now we got tonight, we have Indiana and Oregon. Everybody's rooting for Indiana, I believe, unless you don't like
everybody outside of Eugene, I imagine.
I've got Oregon winning it all. You so for do. The sake of my bracket, I'm rooting for Oregon. But
wow. Well,
I don't see how that will happen, Megan. I understand. I just don't see, based on talent, how that's going to happen.
Well,
it'll be interesting. I think this is, since they expanded the playoff format, I think this year is the best argument for why it was such a good idea to go to a playoff format and grow it a little bit. Because what do we have? The top seed is Indiana. Oregon was 5. Mm-hmm. Mississippi State, 8. And Miami is 10. You know, so there's so much more parity in college football than there used to be, that the old system just didn't make sense anymore. And under the old system, there was so much bowl assignments were very heavily based on brand and reputation. And like Alabama probably should not have even been in the playoff this year. They got in because they're Alabama rather than another deserving school. And then Indiana just dump trucked them.
Yeah, it's going to be. I'm sorry, Megan, but it's going to be Indiana.
Wait and see.
Yeah,
and I don't know. Oregon's a good team.
I think Miami's the favorite.
I think Miami's the favorite. They are so fast. It is incredible.
Indiana's the favorite, right? They're undefeated. They're the number one seed. They blew the doors off. Like, they have to be the favorite, but. Yeah. I hope for competitive games.
And we're also forgetting that the Twins signed a 2023 All-Star shortstop that bats .202.
It's very on-brand.
How come we're not talking about that?
Typical.
The one thing I'm trying to, you know, silver linings playbook here this morning. We should get to see some of the Twins' top minor league talent with the big club earlier than we would have if they were a proper major league roster. So maybe we'll see Walker.
Maybe it'll
Jenkins.
Be exciting.
Maybe we'll see.
So are Saints games
Rodriguez.
Even going to be fun this year?
No kidding.
They may have tryouts for the Saints to fill all the roster holes left from.
I think they just signed 3 kids from Itasca Community College, the baseball team.
It's creating opportunities.
Anthony Edwards is for, third fastest to 1,000 points.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing pretty decent, but he still drives me insane.
I'm not even going to argue at that point. There's still some, I will say that the arc of the last couple of years, his late game decision making has a ways to go, but it's better than it was. And the level of play of Julius Randle and McDaniel and Dante DiVincenzo and Spurts has taken heat off and to be the only scoring option. And it shows, like last night they beat a good Cleveland team.
Yeah.
Were ahead pretty soundly most of the game. They faltered in the fourth quarter. They often do, but they pulled it together and ended up winning decisively enough. So.
And then the football, who's in the playoffs? Well, we didn't even have to cover it. Who's going to win the Super Bowl?
I'm rooting for the Jags. I think that'd be fun. I do think, though, that what's interesting about this year is no Mahomes, no Lamar.
Yeah.
It's a very... It's refreshing. There's a lot. Like, anybody except for the Panthers could win it all this year. Yeah.
And I think you have to keep your eye out for the Texans. They're pretty darn good as well.
I don't know. Their defense is amazing. Their CJ Stroud, not so much.
Yeah. Well, don't they have a Viking on their defense?
Danielle Hunter?
He's doing pretty good.
How about this year the Bills finally break through?
I don't think it's going to happen, but I
kind of feel like if the Bills can break their curse, maybe someday the Viking, maybe the Bills just need to knock the lid off the jar first.
The Bills took a quarterback with a bad throwing motion and a couple of rough seasons and continued to work them to get to this point, Kyle.
You guys aren't naming the team that would be really hard for Minnesota to swallow. Minnesotans to swallow. Team with the top defense in football. Seattle and gets their quarterback. Gets everybody.
I'd love to see Darnold win a ring.
So would I.
I think it'd be great.
Or he throws six picks in the first round divisional round. I wouldn't be upset about seeing that either.
God, we're so smart, aren't we? We just know everything about sports.
But we talked about Darnold a lot and what a hard position that was for the Vikings brain trust, where he had 14 great games, and then he fell apart at the end of the year, played terrible in the one playoff game, was going to command $30 to $40 million a year, and that's a hard choice to make, and doesn't look like they made the right one, but still, hindsight is easy.
Even Seahawks fans will say, are you confident in Sam Darnold going into any game? Yes, your defense is incredible. Yes, it's been working. Until it doesn't.
Yeah.
Like, he could explode at any moment, and it's only a matter of time. You just hope it doesn't happen sooner rather than later.
How about that Baltimore Raven kicker that missed that field goal?
Tyler, it wasn't his fault. A priest blessed that end zone before the game. God decided the Ravens were going to lose.
Thank goodness. Do we have any trivia, Heidi?
We sure do. Thanks, as always, to our senior correspondent. Today's topic, notable quotes. For example, Baseball Hall of Famer Willie Keeler's advice to hitters was keep your eyes clear and hit them where they ain't.
Hit them where they ain't.
First one, what was the subject of this quote this week and who said it? You've heard a lot of chatter about what we're asking for is not sustainable. I know what it takes to run a sustainable business. If they can't find a model that makes it happen, they need to put people in place who can.
Fee?
Yep.
Who?
Nafisha Collins.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Also this week, who said fans of basketball should love this team? They compete incredibly hard and play the right way.
Is that about our Minnesota
Golden Gophers after upsetting 19th
ranked
Iowa?
We forgot about that.
Iowa.
And the women are doing good too.
Yeah.
Gopher men's basketball coach Nico
Medved.
Yep. After wins over Northwestern and Iowa.
When's the last time we beat Iowa?
It's been in the 40s.
Who was coach
on that one?
Who was coach Matt Walker talking about last Sunday when he said, it felt like we were playing for a lot more than just our players today. These guys know players who were on my 0-10 and 1-9 and 2-8 teams.
Who's Matt Walker?
That's what I was going to ask, too. I don't know who that is.
Can you throw a sport at us, Heidi, for a clue?
Football.
Oof.
Matt Walker's the Indiana coach, isn't he? No,
that's Kurt.
Nobody knows who Matt Walker is.
Wisconsin River Falls football team.
That was my next guess.
That won the Division III football title over five-time champion North Central College.
Great question.
Illinois.
Great question.
Who was Joe DiMaggio talking about when he said, when I got a hit off of him, I knew I was ready for the big leagues?
Satchel Paige.
Yep.
Paige.
What speedy baseball Hall of Famer was Satchel Paige talking about when he said, one time he hit a line drive past my ear. I turned around and saw the ball hit his ass sliding into second.
cool Papa Bell.
Yep.
Yeah. Line drive.
Who was Montreal Canadiens goaltender Ken Dryden talking about when he said, when he began to move, the Canadians began backpedaling in a small panic like beachgoers sighting a monster wave.
Guy Lafleur?
Or?
Yep. Bobby Orr.
Okay.
She said, I remember every player, every single one who wore the Tennessee orange, a shade that our rivals hate.
Pat Summitt.
Yeah.
Yep. Who was reporter Howard Sinker writing about this week when he wrote, unfortunately, safeties are typically at the low end of the scale at $250,000 to $900,000 per season.
Sounds like Coy Parrish.
Yep.
Mm. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, the low end of the scale, $900,000.
Our final question, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
That's Wayne Gretzky line.
Michael Scott.
There we go. Thanks, you guys. Thanks, Fred, Kyle, Megan.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Same deal.
See you next week.
See you, folks.
There we go. Coming up, we've got the Up North Report, local news from our region at 9 o'clock this morning. We bring you Headwaters with your host, Malachi Coons.
For KAXE News, I'm Megan Buffington with the Up North Report. The ICE agent who fatally shot a Minneapolis woman Wednesday has been identified, and the FBI has barred state law enforcement agencies from investigating the death. Chelsea Perkins has more.
Jonathan Ross is the same agent who was dragged by a vehicle and injured in June of last year during an ICE operation in Bloomington, according to court records reviewed by the Minnesota Star Tribune. The Star Tribune says little other public information on Ross is available as of its reporting on Thursday afternoon. Governor Tim Walz is blasting the FBI for forcing out the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension from the investigation into the death of Renee Nicole Good. He says the likelihood of a fair outcome feels very difficult.
There's a BCA Force Investigations Unit that was created by the legislature, by the people of Minnesota, to provide an independent, consistent, and trusted mechanism for investigating the use of force incidents involving law enforcement officers.
And he evoked George Orwell's novel 1984 in relation to the federal government's version of the killing, which conflicts with video footage and eyewitness accounts. Walz commended the thousands who attended the Minneapolis vigil Wednesday night for Good, who leaves behind a wife and child. The governor also pointed to Minnesota's place in history, offering one of the first regiments for the Union Army during the Civil War.
The nation's looking to us to hold the line on democracy, to hold the line on decency, to hold the line on accountability, and more than that, to rise up as neighbors and simply say, we can look out for one another, we can have differences, but we've proved to the world going on 250 years that our democracy could hold.
8th District Congressman Pete Stauber reacted to Walz's remarks on social media, writing, quote, in a time when Minnesotans need calm, reasonable, and steady leadership, Tim Walz threatens to use our National Guard sons and daughters to wage a civil war against the federal government. Minnesotans deserve so much better than Tim Walz. Protests against ICE and vigils in Good's memory are taking place across the country. A vigil is planned in Bemidji on Friday night. Chelsea Perkins, KAXE News.
The Hibbing School District will soon be without a superintendent and a business manager. The school board will have an emergency meeting 11 a.m. Friday to interview and select an acting superintendent after posting the position internally. Superintendent Rick Aldrich resigned at Wednesday's board meeting. Though his resignation isn't effective until April 14th, Aldrich is on medical leave until April. Business manager Alex Kaiser resigned in December, effective January 15th. The vacancies come as the district begins planning $2 million in budget cuts. Aldrich is not leaving because of the district's financial situation, but because of a health condition, and Kaiser resigned to take a position in the Grand Rapids School District.
The Minnesota Department of Health is aligning its immunization guidance with professional medical association recommendations rather than the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The CDC overhauled the childhood immunization schedule earlier this week to reduce the number of routinely recommended vaccines. The agency used to recommend vaccination against 17 infectious diseases. The new guidance drops that number to 11, recommending only high-risk groups get the remainder of the shots. State Commissioner of Health Dr. Brooke Cunningham says the change does not reflect the best available science. While the immunization schedule will no longer align with the CDC, the guidance itself remains the same. Minnesota will continue to recommend children routinely receive vaccines to protect from hepatitis, bacterial meningitis, rotavirus, and the flu, COVID, and RSV. Two northern Minnesota sheriffs announced they will seek re-election in November. Itasca County Sheriff Joe Dasovich cites the accomplishments of his first term and his wish to continue building on that work. Beltrami County Sheriff Jason Riggs is also seeking re-election for a second term. He cites his two-decade law enforcement career of serving the county and its communities. Wadena County Sheriff Michael Carr announced Wednesday he was ending his 32-year law enforcement career, opting not to seek a seventh term. Carr says the office is a turnkey operation and well-positioned for the future. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Megan Buffington, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is made possible by Woodland Bank, providing customers with personal and business banking solutions, as well as offering Kasasa checking accounts. You can learn more online at woodland.bank.
You can sign up for a podcast of the Up North Report or read more on the stories mentioned at our website, kaxe.org. It's 8:36. I'm Heidi Holton with John Bauer. Coming up next, we are learning about the decline of fentanyl smuggling. That's from Morning Edition, as well as a really touching story core segment. I know that's surprising, right?
Yeah.
But it's about people who had totally different ideas of COVID.
Oh.
And how they've come together now. You know, they kind of battled it out. That was a very defining moment. And what do you call it? Pulled people apart.
Yeah.
It was more than a moment, though.
Yeah, it's more
than a moment. We should say that. But that's coming up next. And then Malachi Coons is bringing us Headwaters at 9, followed by Minnesota Mixtape. Today, coming up at 1 o'clock, it is our volunteer program on the river. And today we've got Kevin Sunell as our host. Tonight at 7, it is Cage Jamber.
And up next, KAXE is 50 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, April 23rd, but we'll be doing all kinds of fun things
this
year to celebrate, to really cement the future of KAXE. We're very excited about it.
I want to thank L&M Fleet Supply, carrying a variety of products for your next outdoor adventure with 13 locations across the Northland, lmsupply.com. We also want to thank the Sanford Bemidji Children's Therapy, offering specialized physical, occupational, and speech therapy for children. More at sanfordhealth.org.
Weather today, clouds and a little bit of snow coming in this afternoon with not much accumulation. Temperatures today, 25 to 30. Gusting winds out of the northwest up to 25. Mostly cloudy overnight with lows 8 to 11. Clouds again tomorrow, highs 14 to 19. Evening lows 0 to 8 degrees. And partly sunny by Sunday, 20 to 25 degrees.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm A. Martinez. A new study in the journal Science is raising questions about the way President Trump has framed the debate over fentanyl. Trump dismantled many of President Joe Biden's drug addiction policies. He says they were a failure. But researchers found fentanyl smuggling into the U.S. plunged under the Biden administration, and overdose deaths also fell. NPR addiction correspondent Brian Mann is here. Brian, what does this new research say?
Well, this report really adds in fascinating ways to research showing the Biden administration made unprecedented progress disrupting the illegal smuggling routes that were flooding U.S. communities with fentanyl. I spoke about this with Keith Humphreys. He's at Stanford University, one of the co-lead authors. And he says they studied fentanyl seizures. They found purity and potency dropped dramatically after 2023. And Humphreys' team of researchers also surveyed social media. They were looking for references to the fact that street supplies of the drug were drying up.
We start looking for shortage, the word shortage, or weaker. My fentanyl's not strong enough, not getting high anymore, all these kinds of phrases. And there's an explosion, a 14-fold increase in the mention of these terms right when overdoses start dropping.
And this paper in Science A found fentanyl deaths in Biden's final year in office dropped by more than a third from the peak in 2023. That kind of progress is just unheard of. And this paper builds on a lot of other research, as well as an analysis by the Drug Enforcement Administration that all show similar progress.
How did the Biden administration do this?
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. When I first started reporting on fentanyl A, most experts said stopping this drug or even slowing significantly would be nearly impossible. That's because fentanyl's just easy to make from industrial chemicals. So drug policy experts have been speaking to think Biden expand healthcare and drug addiction treatment programs in ways that save lives. And this new paper suggests Biden's team also convinced China to help curb the sale of so-called precursor chemicals that are needed to make fentanyl in ways that really hit the drug gangs hard. Again, here's Keith Humphreys.
Biden's people, the foreign policy people, can feel very proud that they made a positive impact.
Now, here's something interesting. Humphreys and addiction researchers I've been speaking to think Biden made real progress on fentanyl, but then failed to tell the American public about those policy gains.
I think it hurt them because they had a story of success to tell.
And you may remember, Ed, that during the presidential campaign, Trump really clobbered Biden on the fentanyl issue. Trump claimed falsely that no progress was being made reducing overdose deaths.
So if Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris had this information, why didn't they use it? Why didn't they talk about this?
You know, it's a real mystery, especially because some of the biggest improvements on fentanyl were happening in political battleground states like Ohio and Pennsylvania. I reached out to Kamala Harris and members of the Biden and Harris campaigns to ask about their messaging on fentanyl, and I got no response. Talking with addiction and drug policy experts, I did hear one interesting theory. Despite these plummeting fentanyl deaths and Biden's success, they think Trump succeeded in reframing this as a border issue, part of the wider migrant crisis. And that's brought sweeping consequences. Trump has now dismantled many of Biden's fentanyl policies, and he shifted to a new range of policies from trade tariffs to an increasingly militarized drug war.
All right, that's NPR's Brian Mann. Brian, thanks.
Thank you, A.
It is definitely Friday, and that means it's time for StoryCorps. Megan Hillman is the public health director of the small town of Lamar, Colorado. Brian Herrera owns a hardware store in Lamar. They were friends for years. Their kids went to the same school, played on the same sports teams, and then the pandemic hit. Megan and Brian were on opposing sides. At StoryCorps, they sat down for their first conversation in 5 years.
Business for me ramped up like crazy because people are trying to enjoy their outdoor space, and they're interested in fire pits and planting gardens. And then we were all nervous that you might come in and shut us down. When it came out that we were essential, it was like, I'm going to be able to pay my bills. We can stay open.
I imagine it felt scary when you get told you can't have your business open.
Yeah.
You know, I came at it of fear for so many people passing away, which was really devastating. But my job complicated things between us. My nurse, who was a really tough cookie, she called your business and say, hey, we've gotten a lot of complaints.
When the call came through, I remember it saying, we've got some reports that you guys are not social distancing. And I said, no, we're not. You guys aren't wearing masks. No, we're not. We were at least 10 deep at the register and we were shorthanded. And I said, I've got a store full of customers right now, and hung up the phone.
That shook my nurse, which of course shook me, because it was kind of like a screw you. And I was like, are you sure you were talking to Brian?
Mm-hmm. That probably came across a little harsh. And that does bother me, you know, because it's not who I want to be.
That isn't you. You're a really nice person. But since that day, I haven't been shopping at your store.
Yeah.
When all of this came down, it put the spotlight on me. And every time there was different restrictions, I just dreaded releasing them because it would come with a flurry of hate.
Mm-hmm.
It just got very personal. People on Facebook saying, why am I shutting this town down? I should have my brains bashed in, and people were threatening to come out to my house. So we thought about leaving Lamar several times.
It hurts my heart to know how nasty the community was to you. You had a responsibility, you had a duty to see that people are healthy.
We still are a community.
Yeah. We don't always agree 100% with each other, but we don't just write each other off.
Thank you for being willing to talk it out. I wasn't sure that you would be.
Well, you're a good person that I have a lot of respect for.
Same. You know, maybe we'll make a move to say hello more than we would before.
Wow. Megan Hillman and Brian Herrera in Lamar, Colorado. Their conversation was recorded as part of StoryCorps' One Small Step initiative, bringing people together for conversations across divides. You can learn more at takeonesmallstep.org.
Major support for StoryCorps comes from Subaru. The 2026 Subaru Outback features new styling, as well as standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and EyeSight driver assist technology. Learn more at Subaru.com/Outback.
This is NPR News.
Sweat next to you with a sticky carpet sucking on my shoes. Cause rock and roll ain't never gonna lose. I want you to dance into me. Spill my drink. I wanna feel the kick kicking in my teeth. My bleeding heart. Out.
Jeff Tweedy, that came out last year. The Lou Reed was my babysitter. That's the name of the song. You're listening to the Friday Morning Show. It's 8:49. We've got Malachi Coons coming up at 9 o'clock for Headwaters.
Speaking of music, tonight, Sam Miltitz and the Clearwater Hot Club and Coleraine are at Coleraine
at Smoke in the Water starting at 5 o'clock. The Pickers Duel will open with opener Liam Larson at Bridges Pub in Bemidji starting at 6. And then tomorrow, Brian Pelkovich at the Canna Wine Bar in Crosby at 6 o'clock.
Canna Wine Bar. There we go.
Canna Wine Bar.
Let us know what live music's going on in your region, what you're up to this weekend. You can text us at 218-326-1234. You know, we had talked to Jim Owney earlier, and he was talking about coming home from the mines and eating ice cream.
Yeah.
Dennis texted in from Eveleth. He said, good morning, all. Say, Jim reminded me when I worked shift work, I used to come home, I'd have a bowl of chili and a can of beer with my wife before she left for work.
Oh, this is so weird.
I know.
Shift work is so difficult.
Hey, coming up Sunday night is the Golden Globe Awards.
Oh, and what? Yeah. Who's hosting it? That comedian? Yeah.
That comedian.
Female comedian. Blonde. She's funny. That's okay. I shouldn't have said anything. She hosted it last year. She's outstanding. And that's always fun. It's more laid back.
Nikki Glaser.
Yeah,
is
Nikki
one.
Glaser. That's yeah. Who it is.
So a lot of the Golden Globes are fun because it's TV and film, mm-hmm. you know, and so it's like a big cross section of stuff. So should be really interesting. Song Sung Blue, Kate Hudson's up for best performance by a female actor. You said you loved that movie, right?
It's very good. I highly recommend.
Yeah. Jeremy Allen White's up for the Springsteen movie.
Okay.
You think he should?
Well, what about,
Michael B. Jordan's up for Sinners. Joel Edgerton for Train Dreams.
Leonardo DiCaprio's going to win it.
He's not up for it.
What?
Not for best. Dwayne Johnson, Michael B. Jordan, Oscar Isaac, and Wagner.
Leonardo DiCaprio is not up? How about Sean Penn for Best Supporting?
This might be support. Yeah, I believe he is. Oh, Leonardo is up for support.
Yeah, he's going to win it all. They're going to clean
house. Oh, this is musical or a comedy. Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So they have different categories. Leonardo DiCaprio, Ethan Hawke, George Clooney, Jesse Plemons, Leo Byung-hun, and Timothy Chalamet all up for that. And
it's
yeah.
fun to watch. It's more casual, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they have fun. And yep. not that they don't at the Oscars, but there you go.
That's right. Let us know if you had something, one of your favorite things to watch. It looks like the best series, who's up for that, is The Diplomat. That's a show I loved with Keri Russell. Pluribus is up. I haven't seen that. Severance, Slow Horses, The Pit, and The White Lotus.
Have you seen all those?
No, I've only seen The Pit and The Diplomat.
Oh, okay. There's so much stuff on. You can't go to a gathering and say, you have to watch this. You have to watch this. It's the best I've ever seen. So there's a lot of good stuff
on. Yeah, that now different is the musical or comedy best television series. I think I've seen all of these. Abbott Elementary, The Bear, Hacks, Nobody Wants This, Only Murders in the Building, and The Studio.
Huh.
There you go.
Stay tuned.
What are you watching right now? Do you have any recommendations for us? 218-326-1234.
I want to thank Bagley Area Arts Collaborative offering a workshop in January. Micro Mosaics Workshop, January 24th from 10 to 3 at 9 Central Street West in Bagley. More information and registration at bagleyarts.org or on Facebook. And we also want to thank The Ledger and Ladle, our restaurant in downtown Grand Rapids with a rotating menu every few months to explore a new region, technique, or ingredient. Open Wednesday through Friday, 3 to 9, Saturdays 5 to 9, and Sundays 10 to 2. Ledgerandladle.com.
Up next, we're learning about the NFL playoffs that start tomorrow. 14 teams look to make the Super Bowl.
And you're going to be glued on your Lazy Boy.
No, I don't have a Lazy Boy, and I will not watch a thing.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm A. Martinez. The NFL playoffs kick off tomorrow with really no team looking like a lock to make their way to Santa Clara, California's Super Bowl 60. Let's get into it with Martenzie Johnson of ESPN and Anscape. So, Martenzie, I mean, what are you looking at in this playoffs, which to me looks wide open for the first time in a while?
Yeah, honestly, if you're a fan of parity in the NFL, this is the NFL playoffs for you because, as you said, it's wide open this year, and it's because of one reason, A, and one reason only, the Kansas City Chiefs did not make the playoffs.
Yeah, they're the big, they've been like this big wall that every team has had to go through to try and, you know, win a Super Bowl, and they've always seemed to like shut everyone down. So, like, it's weird. The team that's not in the playoffs is a team that everyone's kind of looking at.
Yeah, exactly. But if you want to talk about the teams that are in the playoffs, there's two I'm looking at specifically. Neither of which is the number one seed, Denver Broncos or the Seattle Seahawks. It's actually the Philadelphia Eagles, who are the defending champions. We're talking about the Chiefs, but the Eagles did win the Super Bowl last year. And on the other side, the Buffalo Bills, who are, I believe, are the sixth seed. And they've always run into that buzzsaw of either the Kansas City Chiefs or the Baltimore Ravens. But lucky enough for Josh Allen, he doesn't have to worry about either of those teams this year. So this is why I think this is finally the year for the Bills. Unfortunately for the Bills, Josh Allen has a leg injury that prevented him from playing in the last week of the season. Yeah. But beyond that, I still like the Bills.
Yeah, and you know what? That leads right into the next thing I was going to ask you, Martenzi, because the two quarterbacks that have the most to prove are probably Josh Allen of the Bills and also Jalen Hurts of the Eagles, because like to get into that elite tier of like Mahomes and Brady, Jalen Hurts has to win multiple Super Bowls. He's got one in the books. He needs another.
Yeah, and Jalen, if you've watched the Eagles, then you know he hasn't looked great. In fact, he's had two games this season, A, where he didn't complete a pass in the second half. That's unheard of for the NFL, where passing is a premium. That's all they want to do. But the Eagles have one of the best defenses in the league, and they still have Saquon Barkley. They still have A.J. Brown. They still have Devontae Smith. So he might have not looked good in the regular season, but I've seen Jalen Hurts in two Super Bowls playing against those same Chiefs that we're talking about, and he has looked excellent. So he might not look good in the regular season, but I trust that man when it comes to the playoffs.
All right, so the Eagles and Bills are your two teams getting to the Super Bowl. Like, if you had to pick, like, a dark horse team, none of those two teams, another team that might make a run, what team would it be? Please say Chargers. Please say Chargers. Please say Chargers. Please say Chargers.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You know how many times I've heard I'm sorry from people
on that question? That's one of the reasons why they don't have an offensive line. But I'm going to say the Houston Texans, which might be a surprise to some, because if you watched the early part of the season, you saw that they started off 2-4. They lost their quarterback, C.J. Stroud, for a couple games due to a concussion. But, A, out of nowhere, they won 10 of their last 11 games, nine of their last games. They have one of the best defenses in the league. And their quarterback, what you want in a quarterback, A, he does not turn the ball over in C.J. Stroud. And Nico Collins, a wide receiver, he's not a household name, but he's one of the best in the NFL.
Yeah, and if the Texans do win that game, that's against the Steelers, that could be Aaron Rodgers' last game in the NFL. I mean, he's always kind of talking about it being the last game, and that might be the last one. If indeed he loses that one. We'll see, though. That one's going to be a good one. All right, that's Martenzi Johnson from ESPN and Anscape talking about the NFL playoffs that kick off tomorrow. Martenzi, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Ed.
So you're going to be in your lazy boy watching it all, huh, John?
Oh, yeah. That's not a lazy
excited?
Boy, but yeah, I really enjoy watching it.
Yeah.
It's something I enjoy doing.
Like, I felt that way last weekend with all the basketball games I could watch. It was like, this is great. We just heard from Jerry in Mattawa. He texted in to 218-326-1234, letting us know that Sugar and the Roof are going to be playing tomorrow night at Sand Rocks from 6 to 8. That is in Sandstone. Thanks, Jerry. Good to hear from you this morning.
There you go. What are you doing this weekend, Heidi? You laying low or are you going to cross-country ski? Well, it's tough cross-country skiing.
No, I'll probably ski. I skied yesterday.
Yeah.
We got some trails we've groomed at our house, and they're nice and crusty right now. And there's enough snow in the woods. You know, it hasn't completely melted off. So I may do that. What plans do I? I don't have a lot of plans, so I'm pretty excited about that.
That's the best kind of time off.
Yeah, I'm excited because it's nice to just, in the wintertime, I almost don't want as many plans going on. Coming up on Monday at Central Lakes College, their music program has a meet and greet from noon to 2 at the Music Hall and the Brainerd campus. Optional auditions for the program's ensembles during this time, and you don't have to be a student to join them.
Mm.
Also going on Monday, Hibbing Public Utilities has a town hall meeting in the Little Theater of the Hibbing Memorial Building. They'll provide important information about recent lead testing results. in their efforts to reduce lead exposure to the community.
And we've talked about this one before, but you can build a cardboard sled Tuesday at King Elementary in Deer River from 3:30 to 5, and the sleds can be used in the second annual Cardboard Classic on Saturday, January 17th. Supplies will be provided.
This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. People-powered radio in northern Minnesota, you can join us, KAXE.org. We're looking at some fog still this morning, partly sunny, highs 25 to 30, and gusting up to 25, and possible snow this afternoon, but less than half an inch expected. Lows tonight, 8 to 11, then getting a little closer.